Every year, this Sunday after the baptism of the Lord, the church gives us a passage from the Gospel of St. John. It doesn't matter if it's a year of Matthew or Mark or Luke. We always have a passage from John on this Sunday. Today's passage in some way makes a transition from the baptism of the Lord into the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. But even more importantly, today's reading teaches us some very profound truths about who this Jesus truly is. John the Baptist makes this what would seem to be a rather strange statement for one who is not grounded in the Old Testament. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Why does he use the word lamb? It could almost seem offensive. And yet John has a very specific point. Because it was the lamb that the Jews would offer in sacrifice before the feast of Passover. They saw this lamb as somehow carrying their sins. And they saw in that offering of the lamb, that sacrifice of the lamb, a source of reconciliation and forgiveness of their sins. What is John telling us? He is telling us that this Jesus is truly the Lamb. He is truly the one who will carry our sins. He is the one who will free us, who will liberate us, who will reconcile us to our God. Right at the beginning of the Gospel of St. John, we have this bold, powerful statement. This is the Lamb of God. And right at the end of the passage we heard today, we have another very strong statement. Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God. John does not want us to be in doubt at all who this Jesus is. He is Son of God. He is the one who frees us from our sins. If we go to the first reading for a moment, it ends with another very powerful line. I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. That was such an important concept at the time of Jesus. Because the Jewish people had this sense that somehow salvation was theirs, that they were chosen among all people, and that was true. But from the time of Jesus on, salvation was no longer to be limited to the Jews. It was for all people. No matter what their race, their culture, their language, this Jesus was to extend salvation to each and every person. It became available to all who longed for it, all who wanted it. Excuse me. I'd like to now go to the second reading, and that is where I'll focus, because it is also very powerful. It's only two sentences, As Frank was reading this morning, I thought, it didn't even give him time to get warmed up. But it's two very powerful sentences. First of all, he speaks about his call to be an apostle by the will of God. But then he says, to the church of God that is in Corinth. Notice he doesn't say the church of Corinth, but the church of God located in Corinth. What is he saying? He is saying that this church is just not one local community, but that it is universal. This church, in potential at that time, but in reality almost today, spreads to the ends of the earth, that no matter what community you're in, you are part of this one church, this one people, this one group that God has called to salvation in Christ Jesus our Savior. And then he goes on. To you who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be holy. And it's that word holy that I wish to focus on for a moment. What does it mean to be holy? What is holiness? Holiness is not primarily something external. You know, we can do a lot of holy things, but they in themselves do not make us holy. You know, we can say prayers, we can make signs of the cross, we can genuflect, we can go to the adoration chapel, we can have rosaries on our in our hands. All of those are good if they're done for the right purpose. But just because a person does those things does not mean that they are truly holy. Holiness is interior. It is something that is in each of us, or not in each of us. Holiness is more about a relationship. For us as Christians, it is about a relationship with God our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's about having the Lord Jesus dwell within us. That is holiness. If he dwells in us, and we dwell in him. If he is in us through the power of his Spirit, then we are holy. Holiness requires more than anything humility. We have to be humble enough to acknowledge that we need a Savior. We have to be humble enough to acknowledge that of ourselves we cannot achieve the very purpose of our lives. That our hope for life, for salvation, for eternal happiness rests on someone outside of us. And if we are humble enough to open our hearts to that someone, that Savior, then we can achieve true holiness. That is what is meant in Matthew's gospel, which we'll come to in a few weeks, I'm sure, about poor in spirit. We are poor in spirit when we know in the very depths of our being our need for a Savior. Now, holiness, if it's authentic, will be manifested in our lives. It may be manifested in those things I talked about earlier. You know, genuflections and signs of the cross and rosaries and visits to the Blessed Sacrament. All of those can be manifestations of holiness. But more importantly, is manifestations such as mercy, compassion, struggling for justice for the poor and the oppressed. Those are the more important signs of holiness. Because if we have that relationship with Christ Jesus, if He dwells in us, then His love, His presence, has to change our lives. And if our lives do not manifest those things that were so essential to the very life of Jesus as He walked on this earth, how can I say that He dwells within me? Holiness will be manifested if it truly exists. It'll be manifested in the way that we live. I quoted in the first reading, the reading from Isaiah. This is speaking about the Messiah. I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Jesus becomes a light to the nations when we have been transformed and when our lives manifest Him to the world today. And that, my brothers and sisters, is our great challenge. Are we so open to Christ? Are we humble enough to allow Him to live in us, to transform us, so that through us He becomes a light to the nations? I began with the gospel reading with John. John the Baptist saying, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Do we know that in the very depths of our being? Do we believe that? Do we believe that He truly is the one who carries the weight of our sins? Do we welcome a relationship with Him? Do we yearn for relationship with Him? If we long and we yearn, He will dwell in us. And if He truly dwells in us, He will transform us. And through us, the light of salvation can reach to the ends of the earth.